a whisper. "Boone, I think we're in terrible trouble, you and I." He was trembling, Boone saw, a fact not easily concealed in a body so big. Decker had the physique of a man who sweated out the day's angst in a gym. Even his tailored suits, always charcoal, couldn't tame his bulk. It had made Boone edgy at the start of their work together. He'd felt intimidated by the doctor's physical and mental authority. Now it was the fallibility of that strength he feared. Decker was a rock. He was reason. He was calm. This anxiety ran counter to all he knew about the man. "What's wrong?" Boone asked. "Sit, will you? Sit, and I'll tell you." Boone did as he was told. In this office, Decker was lord. The doctor leaned back in the leather chair and inhaled through his nose, his mouth sealed in a downward curve. "Tell me," Boone said. "Where to start?"
"Anywhere."
"I thought you were getting better," Decker said. "I really did. We both did."
"I still am," Boone said.
Decker made a small shake of his head. He was a man of considerable intellect, but little of it showed on his tightly packed features, except perhaps in his eyes, which at the moment were not watching the patient, but were fixed on the table between them. "You've started to talk in your sessions," Decker said, "about crimes you've committed. Do you remember any of that?"
"You know I don't."
The trances Decker put him in were too profound. "I only remember when you play the tape back."
"I won't be playing any of these," Decker said. "I erased them."
"Why?"
"Because I'm afraid, Boone, for you."
He paused.
"Maybe for both of us."
The crack in the rock was opening, and there was nothing Decker could do to conceal it.
"What are these crimes?" Boone asked, his words tentative.
"Murders. You talk about them obsessively. At first I thought they were dream crimes. You always had a violent streak in you."
"And now?"
"Now I'm afraid you may have actually committed them." There was a long silence while Boone studied Decker, more in puzzlement than anger. The blinds had not been pulled all the way down. A slice of sunlight fell across him and onto the table between them. On the glass surface was a bottle of still water, two tumblers, and a large envelope. Decker leaned forward and picked it up.
"What I'm doing now is probably a crime in itself," he told Boone. "Patient confidentiality is one thing. Protecting a killer is another. But part of me is still hoping to God it isn't true. I want to believe I've succeeded. We've succeeded, together. I want to believe you're well."
"I am well." In lieu of reply, Decker tore open the envelope. "I'd like you to look at these for me," he said, sliding his hand inside and bringing out a sheaf of photographs to meet the light. "I warn you, they're not pleasant." He laid them on his reflection, turned for Boone's perusal. His warning had been well advised. The picture on the top of the pile was like a physical assault. Faced with it, a fear rose in him he'd not felt since being in Decker's care, that the image might possess him. He'd built walls against that superstition, brick by brick, but they shook now and threatened to fall.
"It's just a picture."
"That's right," Decker replied. "It's just a picture. What do you see?"
"A dead man."
"A murdered man."
"Yes, a murdered man."
Not simply murdered, butchered. The life slashed from him in a fury of slices and stabs, his blood flung on the blade that had taken out his neck, taken off his face, onto the wall behind him. He wore only his shorts, so the wounds on his body could be easily counted, despite the blood. Boone did just that now, to keep the horror from overcoming him. Even here, in this room where the doctor had chiseled another self from the block of his patient's condition, Boone had never choked on terror as he choked now. He tasted his